joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven.
Singing this morning. Thank you. You may be seated, Brother Kenny.
Well, good morning, church. Merry Christmas. Even a couple of days early, I think we're in the spirit, don't you? Getting there. All right. Thank you so much for being here this morning. If you're here with us for the first time or for the first time in a long time, we'd love to know about that. You'll find this in your bulletin, little connection card there. We'd love for you to fill that out for us if you would. On the back, there's opportunity for you to print prayer requests should you have one or several. We would love to have those as well. And once again, we emphasize the International Mission Board, Lottie Moon offering as it relates to the video that you've seen there. We want to continue to support that. I just pray and hope that this is the greatest season, Christmas season, that you will ever going to have. We have service tonight as well, and then again on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, we will have a candlelight service here, and we would love for you all to come and be a part of that as well. So enjoy this time and this privilege that we have of worship. Love you and appreciate you. Brother Larry. Oh, I do have one more thing. Come on up, Larry. Never remember it all. Billy. Couldn't think of his name. Billy shared with me earlier, as you pray, Larry, Paul Bench has taken his wife to the hospital this morning. She's having some trouble breathing, and I'm sure there are other requests that we need to mention. Diane, for sure. She's going to have surgery. She's in a hospital in Orlando. So, Larry, as you pray, if you be fine. We have somebody else. Okay. Boy, I'm just all messed up this morning. You'd think this was Christmas, wouldn't you? Either way, we need to remember those prayers, but thank you.
When it's your turn, okay? Charlie. Okay. Didn't have that one down.
Good morning and Merry Christmas. Good morning. Everybody smile. Yes. I would like to have Matt and Ellen and Mark and Linda Tucker and the preacher come forward, please. I want to present something from the congregation to let us know, to let you know that we appreciate all that you do for us. So, if you are ready, I will come down there. I will risk my life. So I want to thank each and every one of you from the bottoms of our hearts, that we appreciate it. Yes. Oops. And thank you.
Good morning again, everyone. Let's go to word and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, well, this is an awesome time of the year, Lord. We be with family, loved ones, Lord. Lord, I just hope and pray each and every one of us that sit around a table Wednesday with our loved ones that we can remember what the season really is about, our Lord Jesus Christ, his birthday. Lord, again, just give him thanks, honor, and what he does for our, and our family, Lord, each year, Lord. Yes, we have bad times, but we have good times too, Lord. We just take them and go on, Lord. That's part of life. Lord, I pray for service today. Is anyone here today to not know he's a personal Savior? What an hour that would be to come know Jesus as their Savior. Lord, again, to be with Brother Kenny gives a message today, Lord. Be with our military, the ones who are going to be away from their loved ones, all over the world, Lord, each and every one of them, all branches, Lord. Just keep them in your loving arms. Lord, again, just be with the service today. Lord, just that we can be sisters and brothers in Christ. We may have difference, but Lord, we're still your child, each and every one of us, and we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, again, be with these families as hurt like Sherry is in the hospital now, and there's Ronnie and Barbara, their situation. Lord, I just lift them up. Many, many more, Lord, in our church is hurting our elders. I just lift each and every one of them up, Lord. Sometimes you don't remember all, but Lord, you know them, I mean, by name and all, Lord, but we all know them. And Lord, we just need to lift them up and give them honor and glory and praise, Lord. Again, we just thank you. Lord, I just thank you for the day, Lord, to be a part of this church, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's continue our worship service by singing hymn number 89, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful for another time we can come together with those of like faith to honor and glorify Thee, to worship Thee. We're thankful for the opportunity at hand that we can give a portion of our income to spread the gospel here in the community and around the world. We're especially thankful for this glorious time of year that we can celebrate the birth of our Savior, Christ the Lord. We just pray that you would bless the gift and the giver, and that Jesus would receive the praise and honor. In his name I ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Continue our worship service by standing and singing hymn number 103, Away in the Manger.
Father along. up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. We'll understand it all by and by.
Carol, you had me worried there for a minute. I thought you was about ready to play that fiddle on steroids on your own there. Further along. That's a great song. Great meaning there. But you know what? The deal with that is we still have to wait, don't we? And how we wait has everything to do with whether or not it becomes a positive experience or whether it's a negative experience. There are things that, you know, this is a perfect time of the year to celebrate waiting, because as parents, we love to do that to our children, don't we? No, you can't have one early. It's not yet Christmas morning. Oh, but please, I see them there under the tree. And the sad reality about that is that mom and dad got the same feelings part of the time. You know, can I have one early? No. Well, why not? Because I said so. You have to wait. That's just how it is. You have to wait. I love this time of the year, and I've shared with you before that it took a long time to get to this place, but I do love this time of the year, and I enjoy what it's all about, the giving and the receiving, and the joy that we have of thinking about the price that was paid for us, the gift of a Savior, stepping out of eternity and stepping into reality here in the real world, and being born as a baby, and we hear the story, and we know a lot about the story. And I want to share with you this morning a story about a guy that doesn't often get mentioned that much around Christmas time. But before I do that, I got one little thing I want to share with you that I've been smiling about now for years. I shared this with you last year, but some of you weren't here last year. And it's all about ideas for Christmas shopping. And I thought, you know, this is late in the game for that. But there's a guy named Aaron Wilburn, who some of you may know who that is, because a gospel singer, country singer. And he's written a song all about Christmas, and I want to share that with you this morning because it's humorous and it makes me smile every time I think about it. Well, since all her friends have got one, now my wife wants one too. A knee-length fuzzy fur coat, and ain't nothing else will do. Said she'd look really classy and make me proud of her if I just break down and buy her a fur. Well, it got me to thinking, how am I going to swing that sort of deal? You know, Lord knows I can't afford it, and it's wrong to steal. But the problem finally solved itself like a bolt out of the blue. It jumped right in front of me out on Highway 92. Well, that big old German Shepherd, my car, it did not see. Now he's in doggy heaven, but his hide belongs to me. For 3 weeks in the shed, I worked late almost every night. It was mostly trial and error, but I finally got it right. I put it in a cardboard box and carried it to her. And oh, she was thrilled to see that fur. Now she's got the fancy fur coat and reaches all the way to her knees. But she's been complaining lately because she said her closet's full of fleas. She don't know old Fido is wrapped around her tight when she's putting on the dog when she goes out at night. And she's been depressed here lately since I backed over the cat. But I think she'll feel a whole lot better when I give her this big old fur hat. And all for all of you animal lovers, please forgive me. I'm sorry, I just can't help but smile. Diane, that's as close to a fur as you're ever going to get. So if y'all got a German Shepherd you want to donate, I'm your guy. Oh, Lordy mercy. We have to smile a little bit, don't we, church? We ought to be happy. Christians ought to be the happiest people on the planet. Now, I get it. We have issues, and we have times of opportunity, and we have things we ought to work through. But God help us, church, if we stop smiling. God help us if we stop laughing and stop having some moments of joy together. You know, Charlene, I got thinking about this thing. Any one of your dogs would make 3 or 4 fur coats, wouldn't it? Put a saddle on that dog and ride that thing to work. But I promise you, I'm not dog negative unless you have one in the neighborhood that barks. And then of everything, all the time, for no reason at all, then we probably will have an issue. Given that, listen, turn your Bible. I'm sorry, I just had to smile about that a little bit this morning. Turn your Bible with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Just going to read a couple, 3 verses here. And then I want to share some interesting things about a man named Simeon. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 and following. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes hath seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for the great love that you have for us and have always had for us by sending your son Jesus Christ to be born, to live perfectly, to sacrifice his life for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we celebrate his birth in this particular time of the year. We specifically celebrate that. We're so grateful that he stepped out of a perfect eternity and was willing to be born of a virgin for the forgiveness of our sins if we would receive him. What an incredible, incredible gift. And this is the time, Lord, of giving and receiving gifts, and we're so grateful for the privilege of doing both. We're so grateful for the opportunity to spend time with families, Lord, to share the love and the joy that comes with giving and receiving. And Father, I pray this morning that you would open our eyes and our minds and our hearts, Lord, to this scripture. Lord, we realize that waiting is difficult sometimes, but we can learn some lessons from Simeon this morning, that there's a right way to wait. And Father, we learn from him how valuable it is that we do. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. I thank you for each one that's here today. Speak to us up close and personal, Holy Spirit. Please make the word of God very real to us today. And if decisions need to be made, I pray that they would be made before we terminate this service today. In Jesus' name, amen. It's kind of interesting to me how Scripture remembers different people in different ways. Abraham is kind of remembered for trusting. God told him to pick up everything he owned and take off, and he would tell him where he gets to, where he's going to go, and Abraham believed him and he trusted him. Moses is remembered primarily for leading. I mean, he spent 40 years in the wilderness leading the children of Israel to the promised land. Paul, on the other hand, he's more known basically for his writing. He's written a number of letters to churches and several letters to individuals as well. He's known for his writing. John, is known for his loving. He absolutely loved the Lord Jesus, and he loved his disciple buddies, and he loved the world. Then he preached that gospel. But what about Simeon? What in the world could we remember Simeon for? You know, at the birth of Christ, he's not known for leading. He's not known for preaching necessarily, or for writing, or even loving. But he's known for something different. He's known for looking. Now, that's interesting. Looking and watching. In Luke 2:25 through 30 here, that we just read a minute ago, it tells us all about Simeon's process here. The way Simeon waited for the first coming of Jesus kind of gives us an idea how we probably should wait for the second coming of Jesus. He waited honestly and he waited forwardly, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. The events that are mentioned here took place about 8 days after the birth of Jesus. Joseph and Mary had brought Jesus to the temple, and it's a day of sacrifice. It's a day of circumcision for Jesus. It's a day of dedication. But for Simeon, this is going to be a day of absolute celebration. See, what we are told is that he's waited and waited and waited and waited, and he was told that he would not die until he had seen God. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? I mean, prompted by the Holy Spirit, he's been told that this is not going to happen. You're not going to die until you have seen the Savior. And it's not the first prompt. You know, we read that prompt in verse 26, that he was led there by the Holy Spirit. We'll read verse 27, the same thing. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when he came to Mary and Joseph there. Just think about this for a second. What would a message like that do to you? If the Spirit of God had said to you, you will not die until you have seen the Savior. I'm talking about in real life, in the flesh. Just put yourself back in Simeon's place. Would that have rocked your world just a little bit? Would you have wondered? Would you begin to think, what does this mean, and how is this going to go down? And what's this going to do for me over the next few years or months or whatever? We're not told anywhere that I know of in Scripture how long he's waited. We're told what kind of guy he is. The Word of God is very, very clear. You know, this guy was a just man, and he was devout. And he was waiting for the Savior. And the Holy Spirit was up on him. And that's the reason, in case you wonder why I pray the way I pray on Sundays and on Wednesdays, my goal is for me as well that the Holy Spirit of God would make the Word of God very real to me and to you as well. That the Spirit of God would illuminate the Word of God so that the things that are spoken, the things that are prayed, and the things that are sung, you know, in the fellowship time that we have together, that the Spirit would turn those processes into real events of worship, where you and I can kind of get lost in the whole idea of the goodness of God. That when we have the privilege to celebrate together like we do, to sing together and to fellowship together and to pray together and to hear the Word of God taught and preached, all of these things are acts of worship. And I'm excited about the coming year because I want to be sharing some messages with you on Sunday morning about the dynamics of corporate worship. And I'm excited about that whole process. Do you realize how special this is? How special what we get to do here on Sundays and Wednesdays. You realize that the Spirit of God is among us today by promise of the Word of God. And where two or three are gathered, he's there. And the corporate worship experience that we have, Simeon was very faithful. He was very dedicated to that. He went on a regular basis because he'd been told that he could expect something. He'd been told that he would just have to wait. You know, you're not going to die before you see the Savior. And so every time he went to church, so to speak, or went down to the temple, he went with a level of expectation. And that's one of the things that I want to share and I want to promote in 2020. Are we showing up here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night? Are we showing up here with levels of expectation that we have the opportunity to meet our Lord in every worship experience? that the power of God might take the Word of God and make that so real in our life that if you came here and you were lost, you can find the Lord Jesus before you leave and go home. The gift that God provided in the Son would be there for the taking. Yeah. What would it do to us if we knew that we weren't going to pass away before we saw God? Well, someday we're going to. Someday we're going to meet Him face to face, and the reality of the moment is, what will we do then? You know, we know what this process did to Simeon. We learn from the Word of God that he waited. But he waited in a very specific way. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not a big fan of waiting. Let me just get real with you here. Some of you are smiling. I gather that patience is not your gift either. Yeah, I see you back there smiling. I know who you are. But there are some pretty good things that happens when we wait, isn't it? Occasionally, you know. What does the Word say? I have three different translations I want to share verse 25 with, and they're very, very illuminating. The Living Bible says he was constantly expecting the Messiah. The Phillips translation said he was living in expectation of the salvation of Israel. And the New English Bible says he watched and he waited for the restoration of Israel. And like Max Lucado said, Simeon is a guy on tiptoes. He's a guy waiting and expecting something to happen because he's been promised by the Spirit of God that something was going to happen, that he wasn't going to pass away. So he's wide-eyed and he's watching. He's anticipating. He's looking expectantly. And I began to look about things related to all that, and I thought about my own life. I like to fish, and I like to throw topwater. And Jerry, you've thrown it. I know you've thrown it. The excitement of throwing that topwater plug out there and popping that thing along the surface, and you're just waiting and waiting and waiting because you know Mr. Bass is down there, and he's watching that. And you just want him to go ahead and just give in and bite it. Just bite it. That's all I want you to do. Just bite it. Come on. And my buddy that I fish with actually talks to the fish. Now, that's a scary thought. I don't know, Jerry, if you've ever talked to the fish. Yeah, I've talked to them, and they probably didn't want to hold that conversation. Bite it! Come on, what's wrong with you? It's right there in front of you. Everything else you got to chase down. This is right in front of you. It ain't even moving. All you got to do is just swim up there and bite it. What is wrong with you? Now, that's the kind of way I talk to the fish. That's sad, isn't it? It might be why I don't catch fish as often as I would. But the anticipation of working that topwater plug is just exciting. Okay? Well, what about the big ball game? If you're a great sports fan, well, it don't come on till 7 o'clock. Oh, my gosh, it's only 4:30. I got another 2.5 hours to wait. Oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? You'll wear a hole in the carpet waiting on the big game. Or maybe time to go on vacation, you know, and you can't wait. You know, this Monday, and Friday is the last day before you got a week off. And, my gosh, Monday to Friday seems like 3 weeks. You know, sometimes we don't wait expectantly. Sometimes we just wait. Well, Simeon helps us out here. He talks about how to wait expectantly, how to look expectantly, how to anticipate properly. And I love the Greek. The Greek language has got all kinds of words that have different kinds of definitions. And there's a number of words for the whole word that means to look. You know, one of them means to look up. Another one means to look away. Another one means to look up on. Another one means to look in, and another one means to look at something intently. And while there's another one that actually means to look over someone carefully. So what you and I would say in English, you know, well, he looked. The Greek has got some very specific words here. And as I read this passage of Scripture, I thought, I wonder what that special word is in this passage of Scripture and what that definition is going to be. And would it make any difference one way or the other? So I looked it up. It's the one that kind of best captures the whole idea for Simeon looking for the coming of the Savior and how he handled all that. In the Greek, the word is prosdekome, and it's two words put together. Dekome means to wait, and pros means forward. So you put them together, and you get waiting forwardly. And I thought, well, What is that going to mean? How do you wait forwardly? That means I sit in the boat seat with my rod and reel and the bait in the water, and I'm just looking forward for the bite while I'm waiting for the bite. Okay? Brenda, I know you fished against you a lot of times. The whole idea is, can we wait forwardly? Can I just throw the plug in the lake and sit in my seat and act like some semblance of a normal human being? I see you shaking your head out there, Tammy. Come on now. Can I wait appropriately and be in expectation without flipping out and acting like an idiot? I'm just trying to be real here. Because sometimes, folks, that's how we live our lives out. Simeon's a wonderful example of what it means to wait forwardly. He went to that temple on a regular basis, not only to worship the God that he knew because he was a devout and just man, but he went there with the expectation of meeting God. Oh, believe me, that's got a level of depth to it that I'm not sure I have even the ability to share. And making it personal, it goes like this. When I walked through that door back there this morning, did I walk through that door with a level of expectation that today in my worship, I get to meet God? Just think about it for just a minute. Some of you might be here because you felt like you had to. Some of you might be here because you wanted to, and that's a good thing. Some of you might be here because you were drugged here and you didn't have a choice. But I want you to think about Simeon. On a regular basis, this guy went to the temple with a level of expectation that maybe today I'm going to see God. Listen, church, I don't know what you think about this, but what we get to do here is an absolute privilege. It's a privilege. You see, I believe with all my heart that the Bible tells us clearly that God has great expectation that he's going to meet with us when we come here. Not just here, but sometimes especially here. That we came looking to see him. We came expecting to see him. And as we wait for that experience to take place, we wait forwardly. Yes, we bring our burdens. Yes, we bring our brokenness. Yes, we bring our challenges. I get that. But where else will you take it that you have a better chance of connecting with God who will help you through this process? Simeon wasn't demanding of God. Well, I've been going for years and I ain't seen him yet. It sure would be nice if you just do something so I don't have to keep doing all this. He wasn't in a hurry. Nothing in this passage of Scripture shows anything except a devotion and a justness in this guy's life. He'd been given a wonderful privilege, and he wasn't going to back out of it until the time came when God honored his promise, and he lived knowing that God would honor his promise. And I believe that too, church. I believe personally that God does some things to us and for us while we're in this house that he can't do or won't do while we're not in this house, because this is an act of obedience in case it's not dawned on you at ever. Bible says clearly, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the habit of some is, Hebrews 10:24-25. It's clear. God's expectation is that we would come here so that we would have an expectation that while we're here, we would meet him. I tell you what, I was taken to church when I was a little guy against my will, and I did not want to go. And I can tell you, year after year after year, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, I got absolutely nothing. Because I looked for absolutely nothing. I had no expectations. I did not want to be there. I was there against my will, and I stubbornly chose to not listen. And I've shared with you before, I probably heard enough gospel to save the entire world several times over, just in my lifetime. And Simeon's example is profound when you stop and look at it. I mean, he was patiently vigilant, so to speak. And I looked up the word in the dictionary this morning, and it meant watchful, being alert to trouble, being aware of that which might cause harm. So he waited, understanding that he needed to see God. He'd been promised that he would, and he waited that way. You know, he went to the temple with expectation. That's what I just talked about a minute ago. And as it speaks to me, and as I speak it to you, the question I have to ask to myself is, did I come this morning with a genuine expectation that I have the privilege today to meet God here in this house? You see, folks, that's what doing church is all about. You are and should be an active participant in worship, not a viewer, not someone who just looks and sees what takes place. And when you become an active participant in worship, the subject matter of that worship becomes God Himself. And we all know that He's way more than worthy of our worship. Simeon knew that. So day after day, week after week, he went down there to the temple with that kind of an expectation. You know, you and I have the same kind of an expectation, but our expectation is not for the first coming of Jesus. That's already taken place. Our expectation and our looking is for the second coming of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I'm thinking it's going to be soon. Preachers have preached it for years. The condition of our world right now is a mess. And if you don't believe in the long suffering and the grace and the mercy of God, just take a look around at the world that we live in and ask yourself this question: why hasn't He already come back? How could He tolerate what He sees from the right hand of God where He sits? It's because He loves you and I enough to give us a chance to get it right. Only God would do that. Only God. This same verb is used to describe the position of the servant in Luke chapter 12. It talks about, and I won't use that passage today, but it's a servant whose master is away, and he is awaiting his master to come back home, and he is waiting with great anticipation and great expectation. He is looking forward. He is waiting forwardly. What I think of when I heard that word is the father of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, constantly looking in the same direction, apparently, that the son left from, believing that maybe one day he might wake up in the reality that he had made for himself and that he would be on his way back home. And the father had been looking and had been looking and had been looking. He had been waiting forwardly. He had not given up. He'd not thrown in the towel, so to speak. He'd not folded his arms and passed judgment on this wayward son. He had begun to look and look and look and look and look until one day he saw his son coming home. And the scripture is very clear. He ran. That didn't happen in biblical days. But this father ran, and he ran right to his son, and you know the story. He didn't stick his finger in his face and say, "I told you so. Didn't I tell you? You'd come whining back here like this with nothing in your pockets?" No. That wasn't the reception at all. And you know the story. So we understand the word, you know, watch, pay close attention, open your eyes, and wait. Watch and wait. Simeon's our model. I love this phrase from Max Lucado. He said, "Simeon was not so consumed with the not yet that he ignored the right now." That speaks volumes to me. Sometimes we can get hooked up in what's not yet, and we have to wait, and we get all twisted up about having to wait. And next thing you know, our attitude stinks, and the next thing you know, we're miserable. Simeon was not consumed with what he didn't have yet, so much so that he ignored what needed to be taken care of right away, and that was continuing to go. He's pictured to us as a godly man, as a good man. And Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, and 10 and 11, he said these words, and I thought they were powerful. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Yeah, good question. What manner of persons ought you to be? What manner of person ought I to be? Well, how should we do this waiting? We believe, don't we, that Jesus is going to come again. Did he not promise us that from his word? Does the Bible say that God can lie? No. So if God said he's coming back, then you and I can camp out with the reality he's coming back. We don't know when. But the waiting time can be a real burden if we don't learn to live with it the right way. Simeon helps us to understand that. You know, what kind of people should we be? Peter tells us, live holy lives and serve God as you wait for and look forward to the coming day of God. That's as simple as it gets. Now, hope of the future is not a license for me to be irresponsible in the present right here. And he says not only to wait, but wait forwardly. And once again, I give Max Lucado the credit here. He said, sometimes we are so good at waiting that we don't wait forwardly. We just simply forget to look. We are so patient that we become complacent. Too complacent. We become content. Too content. We don't search the skies. We don't show up at the temple on a daily basis. We don't involve ourselves in worship. We seldom, if ever, allow the Holy Spirit to interrupt our plans and to lead us to worship so that we might truly see Jesus. Boy, that's pointed, isn't it? I love Max Lucado. He's just absolutely to the point. So today my point is, are we seeing more than a baby in a manger at Christmas? Is the big picture even a reality for you and I? Should we celebrate the birth of Jesus? Absolutely. Should we celebrate it fervently and with expectancy? Absolutely. But we can't leave this little baby in the manger. The cradle foresees the cross. Okay? If the cradle doesn't happen, the cross doesn't happen either. And that's a salvation for you and I. So the idea of forwardly is very, very important. Being strong and waiting is one thing, but we need to be careful that we're not weak in the watching process. Simeon helps us out. You know, Jesus tells us very clearly that about his second coming, only the Father knows. Only the Father is the one who knows. Reality could be he might come back before we get out of service today. I'm smiling. I can't help this. I had a New Testament teacher at Palm Beach Atlantic College when he taught on the second coming of Jesus, and I guess I'll never forget this. He looked at the class. He said, I have this theory. And then he just smiled at us, and we were all sitting out there thinking, what theory could this possibly be? He says, oh, I believe that Jesus is going to come back at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and you'll hear covers rustling all over the world for people that didn't bother to get up and go to church. And then it got real somber and real solid with us. And he said, and I wish I could get past that. He dropped his head down and looked at the floor for a second. And he said, don't ever stop looking and watching and worshiping and praising and praying and singing. Don't ever stop doing those things, because they are very hard to recover. And the thing about it is, Simeon shows us how to hang in there when hanging in there seems like the same thing day after day after day after day. But there's no indication here at all that he got tired of the process. And I believe that if we look at this passage of Scripture closely, we begin to understand in verse 26, and it was revealed unto him, not by a friend, not by a neighbor, not by another person. It was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The Holy Spirit made that real to him, and it became very real to him, and he lived it that way. And verse 27 says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. He was where he was supposed to be so God could do what he wanted to do in his life. I will forever believe that sometimes when we decide not to be here, for whatever reason, when we could be here, we miss golden opportunities to have a real, genuine worship experience with God. And he has a desire to speak to us. And that is a divine appointment. I will never believe that a single person is here for any other reason than by divine appointment. And if you miss that appointment, it may never return again. I mean, that's how serious this all is. Should we be joyful? Absolutely. Should we take it seriously? Absolutely. It's like saying by waiting forwardly, I'm going to be aware, I'm going to be vigilant, I'm going to be aware that I need to be here and I need to do this and I need to go through this process, because maybe this is exactly where it is that God's going to answer the prayer that I've been praying. Maybe he's going to speak to me during the singing of the great songs of the faith. Maybe he's going to speak to me when somebody prays. Maybe he's going to speak to me when the preacher gets up to preach, or something that I learned in Sunday school. And guess what? If I'm not here, you know what? I'm going to miss that. So it becomes a real matter of understanding that Simeon never gave up simply because tomorrow looked just like yesterday. And sometimes we get bored. Let's just face it. We sometimes feel like we're in a rut. That's the same thing day after day after day after day. We've been praying and nothing's coming about. We don't see answers to those prayers. We're not told, and here's, we talked about it a little bit in Sunday school. I'd love to have a couple of more verses every now and then. I shared that with you before. I'd love to have a couple more verses down there where it says, yeah, Simeon's been praying for 37 years. We don't know how long. We don't know how long he showed up at the temple on a regular basis for worship. But what we do know is that the Spirit of God led him there. And on this particular day, excuse me, verse 27, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, boy, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. In my own personal curiosity, I'd love to know how many babies he looked at, how many he might have held in his arms. I would love to have known exactly how it is when they brought that child in. And he took that child from the parents and he held that child and he knew, he just knew. Spirit of God. He knew. This is the one. This is the reason I've been showing up here on a regular basis, because today I get to see the Lord's Christ. Today I get to see salvation. Oftentimes, numbers and numbers and numbers of people show up two times a year at church. They show up at Christmas and they show up at Easter. And if you're one of those, this is not judgment on you from my lips. This is an encouragement to you. There's so much more. There's so much more. From January to sometime in April when Easter shows up, and from the rest of April all the way to Christmas time in December, there's so much more. Let me encourage you not to miss it. Please don't miss it. You personalize this situation when you make it real to yourself. For many of us, we got loved ones who've preceded us into glory, and we're waiting to see them again when we go home to be there with them. I got parents and friends there. Probably you do too. Wait forwardly. Don't just wait. Wait forwardly. Do something with the time. For some, they're waiting for that child to grow up and thinking maybe this is never going to happen, hoping that at some point in time they're going to make some good decisions. Wait forwardly, my friends. Don't give up. Don't quit in the middle of the fight. For others, they wait so that a spouse might come to know the Lord. A husband who's saved and a wife who's lost. A wife who's saved and a husband who's lost. Maybe a relationship that's broken that needs to be mended. Wait forwardly. Don't give up. For others, maybe it's a job that would finally provide some financial needs and take care of some financial stability. And it's been an up and down road, and it's been a real challenge, and sometimes it just doesn't seem like it's ever going to work out. But I encourage you to wait forwardly. Don't give up. Because I believe that God's faithful, and I believe He'll provide, and I believe probably more than ever in my life that He does some of His very best work in my life and yours when you and I have little else that we can bring to the table except to trust Him and to wait. Simeon was looking for Jesus. Today I begin to wonder if there are very many who really are. And with great respect, I say that within the church family as well. Can we see Jesus as more than just a sweet baby in the manger? By His own words, He said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. The manger was the beginning of His ministry here. The cradle led to the cross, where the greatest gift that this world has ever known or will ever know was given for you and I. Salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, a real hope, and a life could be filled with integrity and honesty and joy and enthusiasm and an eternity of absolute perfection that, as the song said, I can only imagine what He set aside for those of us who have believed in Him and who will trust Him with our life. Can you see Him? Can you wait forwardly? Can you emulate Simeon? Because I believe that he had it right. And I believe that sometimes in this Christmas saga, this story, we sometimes forget that there was a lot of people involved in the story, not just Joseph and Mary and Jesus. And every now and then, because this book lets us know that, it's good for you and I to take a good close look. I won't pretend to know where you are today in your spiritual walk. I won't pretend to even know that you know Him personally as your Lord and Savior, but I would say this to you. Christmas is all about the cross. Came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if that's you today, please do not leave this building without giving your life to Christ. Maybe you're saved and you need to be baptized. Maybe you just need some altar time here with the Lord for whatever the case might be, just to speak to Him up close and personal. Maybe you need to join this church. I don't know. Whatever the case might be, you're here, and I hope you came expecting to hear from the Lord. And if you did, and He's telling you to make a decision today, don't let anything prevent you from doing that. Love you and appreciate you, church. Stand as we pray. Lord, thank you for Simeon. Thank you for his example. Help us, Lord, to always wait forwardly. Sometimes we don't get things in our own time frame. We'd like to have it yesterday, and it's already tomorrow, going to be tomorrow, and we still don't have it yet. But Father, help us not to give up. We thank you for your incredible, amazing, eternal love that we can't explain. And in this Christmas season, as we give and receive, may we realize that you are the greatest gift ever. And if we've yet to receive you, pray that we do it now. Thank you for all you are and all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come?
Number 307. Everybody bow your heads, please. I just want to remind everybody that next Sunday night is our Singspiration. If you would like to sing, please let me know. And with that being said, let's all stand. And Brother David, would you dismiss us, please?
Amen.